going to heck in a handbasket across North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota because we have snow and slush and crummy travel conditions on I-94 between Jamestown and Medina. We have that report in from a listener. We know that Elm Street is closing in Fargo because the river is projected to rise to 25.7 feet by Friday. And you know the river's rising when they close Highway 75 near Kent, Minnesota because of rising waters. And so with all the rain we've had the last couple of days and projected to get more rain and now a large splotch of snow showing up on the radar here at the KFGO studio, things are, it's not serious, but it just shouldn't be happening on April 28th that we're getting all this snow and rain and crappy weather. Although I guess it's better happening on April 28th than March 28th because that would have meant a probably an even higher river. But as you're traveling west, the point is out of Fargo, be careful because at some point you will run into snow, sleet, slush, rain, and all the other fun stuff that we are known for in this area. It is almost like winter out there, and that's probably appropriate because the NHL playoffs are just getting started. And the funny thing is it'll be like 90 degrees by the time they're finished because it'll be about the middle of July. But the Minnesota Wild have game six tonight at the XL Energy Center in St. Paul. They're behind 3 games to 2 to the Colorado Avalanche after a controversial, disappointing to Wild fans loss on Saturday in Denver. And to recap that game and to preview tonight's game that you can hear on KFGO, I want to bring in our good friend Jim Suhan of the Star Tribune newspaper and 1500 ESPN. Jim writes a great column, and you can follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. SuhanStrib. Hello, Jim Suhan. How are you?
I'm great, Michael. How are you?
You know what? Other than it raining nonstop for the last 3 days, I'm doing just fine. Thanks for asking.
It's amazing. I've been on the road constantly since February. Everywhere I go, I see perfect weather, and then I come back to this crapola. It's amazing. I mean, you know, we all, yep. Everybody who lives here, moved here, understood that it's not San Diego, but it shouldn't be the Arctic Circle year round either.
Correct. No, I've had the same experience. I've been to Fort Myers, I've been to Frisco, I've been to Spokane, I've been to Philadelphia, and all of them were beautiful. It was, when I was in Philadelphia for the Frozen Four, it was 78 degrees, for God's sakes. I was walking around in shorts and a golf shirt, and it's like this here. But I guess I can always move to Philadelphia if I wanted to do that, but I'm not going to do that. The game, Saturday night, Jim, Avalanche 4, Wild 3, overtime. Controversy among Minnesota Wild fans because they wanted a holding call called against the Avalanche in the third period late, and B, because of an offsides call that was not called that led to the Avalanche goal later in the period to tie the game. I said at the time on social media, settle down, everybody. You know, relax. It's sports. You'll be just fine. You kind of said the same thing in a column the next day. Should Wild fans be as upset as they were on Saturday and continue to be with the controversial calls, Jim?
I think that, listen, the offside call did lead to the tying goal, and that ended up costing the game, and it was a missed call. But, you know, this is sports. You know, you can go back and find a handful of calls that went against the Avs that affected games. You know, that was the most dramatic missed call in the series. But it wasn't the only missed call in the series, and not all the missed calls have helped the Avalanche. Remember, Brodin put the puck over the end of the crowd, you know, at the end of a game at the X and didn't get called for it, even after they looked at replay, and it was obvious that it wasn't deflected. Landeskog shouldn't have gotten a penalty for, you know, that was a makeup call where he sprayed ice on Kemper. That doesn't get called for play unless you're making up for another call. And the Coyle holding thing, you're not going to get the call. That's the kind of call you're not going to get the playoffs. You're not going to, you know, they're not going to call that and end the game, basically. So, now, the linesman missed the offside call, but he missed it for a good reason. He missed it because I think McKinnon was bearing down on him, and he couldn't get in position, couldn't see what was going on. And, you know, as Suter said yesterday, as Yo said yesterday, they could have made a play there. And you're allowed to make a play. You're allowed to make a save. You're allowed to make a better defensive play. Suter got out of position, and I believe Kemper exposed. You know, it's just like all the Cubs fans who want to pin everything on Bartman. Well, Bartman missed the play, and then Alex Gonzalez let the ball go through his leg. You're still allowed to play the game after a missed call. So, Missed call, yeah. Hurt him, yeah. But you had about 18 other times during that game where you could have won it, and you didn't.
You clearly have not lived in Minnesota long enough, Jim, because you have not figured out yet that every call always goes against us and no call ever goes for us. I mean, you must have missed the Minnesota Sports Handbook when you moved to town, and I'll probably afford you a copy of mine that I've had since childhood, that every call always goes against Minnesota teams, and we never, ever get a break from the refs because they're biased against us. They hate us.
They hate us, and we're flyover country, and we don't matter. We're just giving the TV rates. I mean, that's it's such an obvious conspiracy. I don't even talk. It goes without saying, so I don't say it.
And also, announcers from the East and West Coast are also biased against. Of course, they hate us. Yes,
and someone who's moved around a lot. It's funny. Every person, every sports fan in every city thinks the announcers are against them. And you know what it is? It's because they're all, they don't watch sports. They don't get that the national announcers are supposed to be somewhat unbiased. Or they're so used to the local homers, they don't get it when somebody actually looks at things with clear eyes.
Correct on both counts. Was this a devastating loss for the Wild Saturday, Jim? You already relayed some comments that Mike Yeo and Suter made yesterday that they seem to be moving past it. But did you get a sense from anybody else that, my God, this was just, we're crushed now, we're done because we lost to the Avs in a controversial way on Saturday night?
I got the opposite, and I give them credits for that. I've been up and down on Mike Yeo ever since they hired him. I thought they probably should have hired somebody like Ken Hitchcock, a great veteran who knew exactly what he was doing, and you knew exactly what you're getting. But at this point, now that you've had Yeo for a while here, and he's gone through some ups and downs, I'm really starting to admire the guy, and I really admire that right after that game, after those controversial calls, he didn't make excuses. He didn't dwell on those. He talked about how his team played. He talked about what he could control. Immediately turned the focus to game six. Talking to all the players yesterday, they took exactly the same tack. Said, listen, we could have played better. We could have controlled things that were under our control. We didn't. Now we got to go win game six and then go beat them in game seven. The series is still there. I mean, Colorado is a really good team, a really skilled team, but they needed 2 6-on-5 goals to win 2 of the 3 games they've had at home. And the Wild had dominated play at the X. There's no reason the Wild can't win tonight and then go, roll their dice in game seven and see what happens. And I give Yeo and his players credit for taking that tack instead of being whiners.
Jim Suhan, Star Tribune, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. But let me spin it around using Avs coach Patrick Waugh's logic. He hinted, and I think I read it in your column, Jim, he hinted that, we finally found a way to beat Kemper. We scored 4 goals on him. And so I think the hint or the implication was that, we finally cracked Fort Knox here and we're going to find a way to score some goals. Does Waugh have some validity in what he says, that they've found a secret?
I don't think they found a secret. I think they just played better on offense. And listen, Waugh is a manipulator, and I say that with great admiration. He does what coaches should do. He seeks every edge. He's really a charming guy to talk to, and I think he's trying to get Kemper's head. And if the opposing coach can get your head, then it's bad on you. Kemper did not play particularly well in Game 5. I don't think anything was exactly his fault, but he didn't make the kind of game-saving saves you like to see your number one goalie make, and he's their number one goalie right now. But really, probably the other way to look at it is the Wild almost didn't need a goalie in the 2 games they played at the XL Energy Center. I mean, they dominated play so much. Kemper didn't face any tough shots in either game. In fact, the one goal he gave up was completely on him. It was a complete choke. Somebody just threw the puck to the net and he just let it go in. Kemper, he's important. He has to play well. He probably has to play better in game 6 than he played in game 5. But I think if the Wild were speaking completely truthfully here, which sports teams never do, they'd be saying it's kind of their job to make sure Kemper isn't the deciding factor.
By the way, I've come to the conclusion that I think it should be a requirement for every team in every professional sport to hire a coach, regardless of what sport, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, they have to hire a coach who's from Quebec so that he can speak French, Canadian, English, whatever language Patrick Waugh speaks. Jacques Lemaire, they're all wonderful to listen to him speak. It's this lyrical French, Canadian, English language. I could listen to it all day. I'd like to see the Vikings hire the guy to coach him,
I love it. I love talking to Lemaire. I love talking to Waugh. You're right. It's just so lyrical. It's beautiful to listen to. And, you know, I mean, Jack Lemaire would talk about Marion Gabbert and call Marianne, and I liked it every time he did it. I liked it every time. Sometimes he's doing it on purpose. Sometimes he's doing it just the way he talks. But Waugh is just, he's a beauty, and he's done a great job with this team. You know, this is a terrible team. Now they have a lot of talent. They built up a lot of talent with a lot of high draft picks. Still, he's pushed the right buttons. He's a blast to be around. You can't have too many people in sports like Patrick Waugh.
You know what's refreshing is that there's actually a Minnesota team in the playoffs generating some excitement. It's been a long time, it seems, that there's been excitement generated over a period of time. Gosh, the last time the Wolves were in the playoffs, I think, was 10 years ago. When the Twins got in the playoffs up until 3 years ago, you kind of knew they were going to get hammered by the Yankees in the first round. It's kind of fun to have a Minnesota team carrying out a series for a week or week and a half and having people get behind it. I think I shared the story with you the other day, Jim. I was in a local watering hole in Moorhead after playing some golf. I stopped in to grab a beer and a hamburger because my wife and kid were doing something else. And the entire place was tuned into the Wild game, and people were just jacked up about it. It was kind of fun to sit and watch. It's fun to be a part. It's fun to have teams that are successful in your town once in a while, isn't it?
It's great. You know, you don't become a sports writer because you want to cover 70 and 92 teams and write about meaningless games. You become a sports writer to beat the big games. I mean, that's the cool thing. And this is the best series we have seen in our town since the Timberwolves beat the Sacramento Kings in 2004. This is the best series in 10 years. The Twins have had their chances in series, but none of them came down to a decisive game five, or, you know, none of them were this riveting. They were generally overmatched. Either they're overmatched by the Yankees, or they just played a horrible series against the A's. The only Viking home playoff victory in recent times was when they whipped the Dallas Cowboys, and that was a great performance, but it wasn't a great game. It was over with by the second quarter. This is great. And, you know, I've been saying all week, I generally like basketball more than hockey, and I like regular season NBA games much more than regular season NHL games, because I think something interesting happens every 20 seconds, and you get to watch Kevin Love play. But it's hard to beat the Stanley Cup playoffs when you're in a good series. And I think the reason is that in basketball, you know both teams are going to score. You know it's probably going to come down to something in the fourth quarter. In the NHL, every time something happens, you think that might decide the game. Every goal might be the game-deciding goal. Every goal might be the only goal of the game. Every penalty might lead to the only goal, the deciding goal. So it's a very, you know, and in the regular season, you see two teams just kind of trying to salvage a point or trying to get through the second day of a back-to-back or, you know, just trying to, or you know, one team will call off the dogs if they get too far down. This is as good as it gets right here. This is, you feel like every moment is a suspenseful moment in these playoffs.
As always, Jim, thank you. I promise I'll stop bugging you sooner or later, okay?
No, okay. Enjoy it, Mike. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Jim Suhan, yeah. Star Tribune Newspaper, 1500 ESPN. You can follow him at Suhan Strib on the Twitter.